Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, leave it in.
Welcome back to another edition of Leave the Ring Radio. We are live for the tailgate party here for Bronovikov and Matisse. Right now, we just got off of watching Terrence Crawford get a TKO over Thomas Dumoulin. Now, you know, I don't know about you guys, but those first couple of rounds, it seemed like Tomas was going to give Crawford everything that he could handle. And just like a very patient warrior, man. He just took his time. He looked for it. He never got, over exaggerated with his punches. He just stayed tight. And when he zeroed in, and he got the win. I mean, very, very impressive. The guy, you know, the thing that concerned me in the beginning, though, I got to tell you this, is that when you see a fighter walking in there as relaxed as Crawford looked and was kind of like, lip-singing the words to his ring walk music, that made me feel like he's a little bit too confident. But there's a reason why. I mean, look what he did here, Gabriel. I mean, he took out a guy that I think a lot of us thought that was going to give him a good match and did for the first couple of rounds.
Yeah, you know, I was impressed, man. I mean, there I was kind of sitting going, you know, watching him, at first I was thinking, well, for one, it's just annoying listening to Max and Roy not call a fight. There's pretty much endlessly going on and on. And I don't even really know what they're talking about. It's just kind of a low hum underneath the whole fight. But all they kept talking about was this Crawford and how great they thought he was, how good they thought he was doing. I saw what you saw, a very nip-and-tuck fight for the first four rounds. You see Crawford start to assert himself in the third and the fourth, a little bit more in the fifth, but it was all caution. It was all just kind of waiting, zeroing in, kind of marking his territory, mapping it out. And then just the explosion, the way he threw that left hook and got all of the right hand. It was like all of a sudden, when he started landing that right hand, he just could not miss. He found the right sweet spot for it and just started going for it. Max and Roy are a big reason why we're doing this this evening. We believe in action on Leaving in the Ring. If you don't want to listen to somebody talk, then we'll just talk ourselves. But man, what an explosive performance! And you got to think that's what Terrence Crawford needs, and that was the big worry: could he be explosive at a higher weight than 135? It looks like he can.
More relaxed. Let me tell you that. I mean, moving up in weight. But here's the thing that Dumoulin was trying to show was that, hey, you're coming up. I'm the bigger guy. He tried to assert that. He tried to show him, I'm going to push you around. And for those first couple of four rounds, you definitely were able to see what he was trying to do. Now, listening to the commentators for HBO, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing. He's not trying to set something up. I thought he was, which was really trying to get that overhand over the top of the guard of Crawford. But Crawford is a well-educated boxer. You know, he uses every inch. He uses everything that to his advantage that he can get a hold of. And that's what makes a very complete fighter. He answered a lot of questions, most definitely in this fight here. And like you said, he left this very impressive. Fight fans, you want to call in, you certainly can. 347-215-7598. This is the tail party here for Leaving the Ring. Let's patch in a few fight fans really quick, man, before the main event comes up, the one that all of us are really excited about to watch. I think it's going to be you know what's funny? Before I pat some folks in, is I'm a barbecue guy, you know? So I went to go buy some barbecue, and a couple of guys there at grocery store go, hey, you're going to watch the fight? And they go, who do you think is going to win? And I got to tell you, I said, listen, honestly, I don't care who's going to win this fight. I just want to see some blood and guts right now. That's all I want to see. I want to see some pure boxing punching power behind both of these guys. I think that we're kind of craving for it. If you're a real hardcore fight fan, you want to see some explosives. You want to see some fireworks, some true fireworks, not just in spurts, you know. The teaser was with Andy Lee and Peter Quillin last week on PBC. This week, I'm looking for some just some viciousness between both of these guys. So that's what I'm kind of rooting for. But let's pat some fight fans here on Leaving the Ring. Let's go with area code 714. You're on live right now on Leaving the Ring. What's on your mind, brother?
Yo, it's Lenny the Fight Smith, guys.
Lenny, thanks for calling in. So Lenny's gonna, just
up,
really
Lenny?
Quick, let people know. Lenny's going to be the scorecard keeper for the fight while we go through the rounds. We'll check in with Lenny. He'll give us his take and his breakdown and why he's giving what particular fighter what points and why, okay? So, Lenny, stay on hold, okay?
For sure.
Let's go with area code 931. You're on live right now in Leaving Ring. What's on your mind?
Boxing 1%ers, what's up, you beautiful mother effers? It's Eduardo. Hey, what's up, man? Baby. Did you? You know what? You know what I love about Crawford? He's a good, humble young man. I was so happy to see that Puerto Rican get his motherfucking ass whooped. I am so happy. I am so damn happy.
Yeah, it's nice to see a guy that wins and is classy, and you know, the people keep saying he's going to be a star. For me, you know, all those things are great, you know, when somebody's well-spoken and they represent the sport well, represent themselves well. But you know, it comes down to knockouts are the international language of love as far as I'm concerned with boxing. I want to see somebody that can possibly knock somebody out. If they can also be knocked out too, that's awesome. That makes them even doubly, you know, better to watch. So with Crawford, it seems like he's got a nice beard. And he's a boxer, but he's a fun boxer to watch. Like, it's not all about, oh, I'm just going to be hit and not get hit. He is looking to explode at some point, take over, and finish you out. That's really a beautiful thing to watch. And
did you see him smile?
Did
you see him smile in between the rounds? I love that. I love that. This is boxing. And you know what? If he gets hit, you know what? So what? This is boxing, baby. You're going to get hit.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
baby.
I mean, to me, like, he took the risk. He, you know what? He could have done something. He could have reverted and just tried to box and stay on the outside and hope for something to happen. But what he did is he allowed DeMorme to create that pocket for him, to create that opening so he could take advantage of it. You know, I mean, I'm more and more I see the kid get in there, the more and more I got to agree with a lot of folks. He's going to be something of a draw for fight fans, because the thirst that we got right now, we're really thirst for somebody new, a new face to kind of pick up what's being slacked off by other companies that are trying to produce some names that are being shoved down our throats, you know? And right now, mm-hmm. it's good to see something pure, and it's also good to see a guy, you know, always trying to take that extra step and testing himself
mm-hmm.
without even the fans questioning him, hey, when are you going to do this? He's kind of doing it on his own.
Yeah,
great.
You know, Terrence Crawford is the purest essence of boxing. You know, he's skilled, but he's willing to risk it in order to not just make it entertaining, but challenge himself. And that's the spirit of boxing, damn it. Yeah, you take a risk, but hey, no risk, no rewards, damn it. I love this kid. I love this kid, baby. Let's go, champ.
You know, and it's let's go, champ. I just play that. It's like, it's got to be like my morning alarm. Just wake up. Let's go, champ. what I liked about it, too, is you don't go the distance with a guy like DeLorme if you're special. If you want to be a superstar, you do get him out of there. You do put on a superstar performance, and everybody's there to see you. Six rounds is good. You know, it's really it's very impressive to get a guy like DeLorme out of there.
I think what's impressive, too, Gabriel, is that a guy like DeMorley, you can argue that he was almost close to, which a lot of folks were hoping, that he would end up as an A-level fighter. Crawford never let him cross that line of becoming that, just that, because if he would have allowed him to extend those rounds and make it all the way through and survive, the argument would have been like, well, Crawford met somebody that can box him and think with him. He just shut that down.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, okay, I'm flirting with him. I'm allowing him to be in this fight because he was in the fight. But then he shut him down and stuff. Eduardo, I'm going to put you back on hold, brother. Thank you for calling in, okay?
Hell yeah, brother. Hey, boxing 1%ers, man. You guys are the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, brother.
Fight fans, you want to call in, you certainly can. 347-215-7598. Keep tweeting us and telling us who you think is going to win tonight between these big two power punchers. Hey, last week you had who got the nod over Peterson. Now, you know, there were some folks that had some mixed feelings. I, on the other hand, thought that Peterson pulled it off. I liked what he did in the beginning. I watched the fight again because some folks were like, hey, Dave, watch the fight again and see if it changed your mind. I got to tell you this. I like a guy that had control from the beginning, and when he decided to play the other guy's field game, he took control of that. That, to me, was satisfying. That, to me, told me he had control of it. Either way it went, he had control of it. I know you had a completely different view, Gabriel. Yeah, just let people know Gabriel got bought out by Al Heyman. And that's your opinion, Gabe. That's your opinion, brother.
Actually, Dave, I rewatched the fight as well. So, I have a 7-5 card now for Peterson. I tend to agree with you. You know, watching it live, I didn't score it live. And I'll be honest, Dave, I was a little inebriated while we were watching.
Right.
You know, and I think when you're watching to score, I don't know if you watched or read those articles by several different MMA writers. I got a chance to do a ride-along last week for an MMA event, and they got to hang out with all the California State Athletic Commissioners, and each one of them got to judge the fights. And they couldn't live tweet. They couldn't do it. They were just there to judge. And they said it's a completely different experience. You know, we're sitting here hitting two different computers, sending out tweets, monitoring the calls, trying to listen to each other, all while watching a fight. It's not really the best way to do it, you know. That's why we have Wendy tonight, who's doing our official scoring, so you and I can just kind of do what we do. But watching the fight again, you're right. There was just more. When you look at the whole thing, you see Peterson's plan. He's going to take him to Mauricio Herrera land mentally in the first half, like we talked about. I just felt like, for some reason, it seemed watching it the first time, that Garcia had banked enough, and that when he did have some exchanges, he won like enough of the later rounds, like maybe one or two on my card, to like get it done. Second time around, I watched it. I was like, no, what he's throwing really looks like crap. But I still think it reinforces what I was saying during the fight, that Garcia needs to move up. Nothing more evident than just taking the fight away, the fact that he's like, we can do it again at 147. If you have confidence in yourself and your ability to beat the other guy, you're not already giving yourself 4 extra pounds. I just think they're ruining the kid by not letting him fully go to welterweight. I disagree with the notion that he's going to just get ran over by all these guys. I mean, look at Terrence Crawford, like, not much, you know, weight put on, and like, look at the difference, and he's still explosive. Like you said, he's much more relaxed. His body doesn't look as tight. Garcia looked like shit in that fight. He looks like Canelo in the Mayweather fight, where even though they made the weight and they rehydrated, it's just their body just looks like a little bit like beef jerky. It's a little tight, a little too chiseled and not filled out. So those are my takeaways. Now, I disagreed with myself, that Garcia won. That's why you saw me during the week. I didn't really hold on to it. I was waiting for the chance to watch it. And in watching it, no, it's pretty clear. I wouldn't call it a robbery just because all the politics, all the things on the table, Peterson's game plan had too little offense.
Well,
he really needed to establish
himself
a little bit better early on.
But here's the thing, that the reason why somebody said, well, you guys are calling it a robbery. Well, first off, I never called it a robbery. Why? Because I already knew the outcome of who was the winner was going to be. Regardless of how good Peterson looked that night, we already knew that Garcia was going to walk away as the victor in this fight here. But listen, really quick, fight fans, you want to call in 347-215-98. We'll patch in people in between the rounds. We'll try to keep it short and simple and all that because we're going to be calling the fight round by round. The fight is going to be starting right now. You got Ruslan walking down the aisle to the square ring. So, but really quick, Turtle Trend. Put out there that he has Ruslan wins. There will be knockdowns. So we got a lot of folks tweeting us who they think is going to win this night, tonight, Saturday, which I'm hoping, man. I don't know about you, Gabe, but I'm hoping it's going to be explosive, man. I'm just craving that, you know. Vase Ventura said that he's got Ruslan by 8. Let's get a couple other guys out there, tweets out there really quick. You got Hantastic Hands, Ruslan by any means necessary. So far, so right now, we got a lot of people that are just they're thinking Usman's going to take this fight. They think that his punching power is going to be more evident. They think that his chin is far more solid because he's been through some wars. But I got to say, man, Lucas Matisse, in my opinion, is also – he's been through some really heavy weather. Andy Neal, who's Andy Belfast, he's got Ruslan will bring it, but will run out to the big one. And Matisse will finish him, I hope, with his stormer. There's a guy that's actually – putting in account what Lucas Matisse brings to the table. And I think you mentioned this on the next round on Monday, Gabriel, was that Lucas has gotten better as a boxer. He knew that he had raw talent. We knew that he had explosive raw power, but he had to put some extra stuff on the mold, and he's done that throughout the years that we've been watching him. We've seen better footwork. We've seen him set up punches. We've seen him actually even counterpunch, you know. But we've also seen him fall short as the stalker. This one, is to me, is really curious. Who becomes the stalker in this fight? Who takes the lead of coming forward, and who takes the lead of being the, as you could say, the Juan Mau Marquez counterpuncher in this fight? Very interesting. I hope neither one of them decide to take a step backwards, Gabe. I hope they come out and they have the spirit of Corrales and Castillo, and they just come forward and they give us something short and sweet, especially in the month of the anniversary of Hearns and Hagler. Three rounds of hell. I hope we get that tonight. I hope we get to witness something like that tonight here, Gabriel.
That's what I'm hoping for. That night, I hope the fight is every bit as colorful as that gentleman standing to the left of Matisse on your screen. What a jacket.
I think
that guy's,
I know, he's actually looking at the screen going, oh, shit, I thought this was black. I thought this was a black screen. What happened here?
It looks like a great pocket square, the whole thing. That guy is awesome. But, Dave, I think the important question, what are you drinking tonight? You having a little beer, a little something with the broadcast?
Hey,
I mean,
a little
tailgate.
Yeah, exactly. I have a little Coronas, a little cognac over here all at the same time. You know, it's a tailgate party, bro. You know what I mean?
Well,
I'm living it up.
The cognac.
You know?
You're like the second person I know that drinks cognac. That's funny.
I'm mixing it up, though. You know, I got some Corona here with some lime. You know, actually, I don't even put lemon or lime in my Coronas. I'm just saying that. He caught me in a lie there. I drink my beer straight, you know. But, yeah,
that's, like my
that's
coffee.
What I'm doing.
I don't put anything in it. The cognac,
how about you?
It's like the old Hagler commercials. The cognac is like this is civilized. Remember the old deodorant commercials for Hagler? I'm actually not drinking. I'm enjoying a nice sativa with the Firefly and just, you know, a little bit of vape just to enjoy, you know, to relax and see the fight clearly. But that's about it. We're not doing the sauce right now. We're in training.
I'm taking it easy because I wanna soak in every big punch that gets thrown out there and land, and so that I can call the fight correctly here. So, you know, I'm doing a little bit of babysitting here, Ben. But here they go. They got they're both taking off their shirts. It's getting hey man, this is gonna, I'm excited. I'm really excited. So if I fumble my words, right?
Yeah.
If I fumble more over my words than I've done in the past on other shows, I apologize because that's just the way I get when I get very excited. Okay, so.
Wow, both of them look. Matisse is just like already getting the chicken wings going. You know, Ruslan's bouncing up and down. What a journey these guys have both been on. Kind of looking for, you know, they believe in their minds they're A-listers. Everybody wants them to be the B-lister, and then everybody kind of wanted to avoid them because they realized how dangerous they were. But you get two guys that don't really speak English. But again, their styles are the international language of love for boxers. They're you know, aggressive fighters. Matisse, a boxer puncher, and Ruslan's kind of a puncher boxer. He'll box just a little bit to get in his power shots, but more of a brawler mentality. Really going to be exciting stuff, I hope.
Yep, and here we go with the first round, you know. Right away, Lucas comes out and he starts landing some big punches. I think he's trying to make sure that he wants to let Ruslan know that you're in with a guy that can bang as well, or probably equally or even more than Ruslan can do. But Ruslan is doing exactly what we're always expected for him to do, is to come forward, try to establish that space, which is more or less hog it up. and that's more for he can get his punches in because he's got, to me, he's always got the shorter arms, Gabe. I don't know about you, but he's got those T-Rex arms, so he needs to be in that pocket. And he's more comfortable in that pocket, where with Lucas, you can see right now, he likes to be more on the outside. He really likes to land punches with the, at the end of his punches, which seems to hurt guys a lot more.
Well, Ruslan's face is already reddened by some, you know, right-hand shots. A left hook is getting in. Matisse looks very sharp. Even though Ruslan's using his upper body movement, it's underrated. He's getting touched.
Well, he's getting touched, but so far, neither one of the guys have landed anything really big. They both look like they're in great shape. And here's something new, man. I mean, right now, Lucas is using his jab to try to back up Ruslan. And it goes back again why he's doing that. In my opinion, is because he wants to stay on the outside. He wants to get his punches off at the end of them. Doesn't want to smother himself where he's not going to do much. He's not going to do much damage. He's not going to do great work if he's inside the pocket and fighting Ruslan's fight, which is be right there chest to chest.
Well, he's also being very smart in that at once he's staying long. He's staying at long range with that jab. This is what I expected from him, and yet kind of went with my gut with my Ruslan pick. I got Ruslan late in a war, but I thought that Matisse was going to come out and box, and that's what he's doing.
Oh.
What's smart about what he's doing, though, is he's ducking underneath when he wants to escape. So he's making himself long, but he's making himself small and short. It's kind of a puzzle right now for Ruslan.
Right now, I got to tell you, Matisse may be winning this round, but you could still see the concentration in his eyes. He knows something big and heavy can come right back at him if he leaves himself open a little too long, where Ruslan, his face is starting to touch up. But that's normal. You know what I mean? He's got those real defined cheekbones. So
fair skin, too. I mean,
yeah,
he's going to be red.
I mean, you could blow a whistle towards his face, and you're going to see a mark on the side of his cheek. So that's nothing alarming there. But, man, you just get that huge sense. Both these guys want to land something major. Lucas has to land some pretty solid size punches, but I wouldn't even say that the machine's been able to really let it out and show Ruslan that he's the bigger puncher right now. Both guys are on the same level. They're both trying to land something heavy, and they're both trying to land something heavy so that it sets the pace of their fight. In about another round or so, in the second round, we're going to be calling in. We have Lenny on. We're going to be patching him through, and Lenny's going to give us his quick breakdown and his score on his card of the fight right here that we're calling, which is Pronovikov and Matisse. So if you have just tuning in right now, this is the tailgate party for Leaving the Ring, and for all the listeners, you can call in 347-215-7598. We'll be patching in some fight fans to give us their take and who they got up on the card so far.
Yeah, this is very interesting. You know, it's right now, I mean, he says his game plan looks great. You know, he doesn't need to land anything terribly, you know, big. I think he just needs to keep boxing like this. When you have a guy in front of you that marks up and that's going to keep coming forward, not really change up his plan, you know, it's not like Ruslan's going to back off and start getting on his toes.
There goes Ruslan.
Pernell Whitaker.
Yeah, and we right now he's cut over the eye. Ruslan is cut over the eye, but this is not unknown territory, you know what I mean? But this has to strike up some urgency for him, too, as well, because the doctor steps in. There's a lot of ways right now that the doctor can step in and stop this fight. And that's something I definitely don't want to happen. But Lucas Matisse, bro, he's letting his hands go, and he's landing every shot right now with ease. But it worries me a bit when you see a guy that starts falling in love with the blood that they see in front of him and start landing, you know, and they figure, hey, I can land anytime
well,
I feel like
it. All,
it.
Though, dude.
He's landing it all. But he's also got to remember, this is the second round. Ruslan is still strong. He still has his game plan, which is land something big and try to take out the guy in front of him. But he's definitely being outboxed right now by Lucas Matisse.
He's got to get untracked before any of that can happen, you know, and he's not untracked. There's no jab. He's just in a bad place.
Or he's just trying to use brute force. That's all he's trying to use right now. He's not thinking.
Yeah, in a war of attrition, he's dangerously behind. You know, he's bleeding, he's reddened, and the other guy hasn't really taken much damage. He is getting in some body shots when he gets in close, but, you know, he's got to do more than what he's doing.
I could tell you right now, what I'm seeing with Ruslan, what he's doing that's kind of not working for him, is he is stalking, but he's not walking his man down. Notice that when he walks forward, look, he stops. He kind of holds himself there to see what Matisse is doing rather than walking him down, trapping him with some punches, even some finding punches where he can land, where he can sneak in some big punches. He's not doing any of that. He's really allowing Lucas Matisse to take the lead without even working for it.
Yeah, this could be interesting. I mean, the one thing is that, you know, while he is landing a lot, he's throwing a lot, Matisse, and can he keep his pace up?
That's a big question there, yep.
He's not, you know, he may be taking a lot of punishment, but he probably hasn't expended as much energy in terms of punch output. So there's that. But it just doesn't look that great. You wanted three rounds of mayhem. Well, the second round, at least on his end, it was pretty bad.
I think there's no question right now that anybody could score this fight and have Lucas Matisse up. But little by little, right now, towards this last 15 seconds, look at Ruslan just coming. He's inching his way in. And now he's punching while he's walking in. He's not just walking and pausing. He's actually letting his hands go, and that's what he's got to do. I think it's just taking him a little bit of warm up here and really kind of regulate the power of Lucas Matisse. Let's patch in Lenny.
Yeah, he did finish pretty strong, I have to say.
He did. Let's patch in Lenny the Fight Smith here on Leaving the Ring. Lenny, what do you got? What are you watching, and how do you score it?
I agree with you guys completely. I think the first two rounds, I mean, this last round definitely went to Lucas. The first round went to Lucas also. I was tempted for the first half of the round to give Lucas a 10-8 score. He was dominating. Provo kind of came on a little bit more at the end. He was landing body shots here and there throughout. But I have Lucas up 10-9 in the first, 10-9 in the second.
That cut's
there you go.
Terrible,
the
man. That cut is not good at all.
No, and that's got to be a major concern for his quarter right now.
I don't see this fight going very long. That was ruled off a punch, yes?
I believe so.
Oh, well, replay shows and a headbutt. So
here goes Lucas, man. I mean, hey, Lucas is being impressive.
He really is. This is
to me, it looks like, because when he fought John Molina, I don't know about you, but when I watched that fight, I watched that Lucas still trying to figure out, can he handle the bigger guy's weight? Is he going to be able to push him off? Are his punches going to be enough to keep the bigger guy off of him? This time around, Gabriel, he's not using his legs as much. He's actually using his combinations to keep Ruslan at bay.
That's right. I question the strategy. I wonder, you know, it's a race between his energy level and Ruslan's face, because Ruslan's going to keep coming, but man, he's bleeding all over the place.
Yeah, he's definitely bleeding out.
To keep it a war. Yeah, he is. But, you know, I mean, he's doing what he needs to do when he gets in close, but it's just not what he wanted, I imagine.
Well, I think he could throw it. I think for Ruslan, he's in close right now. He's blinding him with a jab. Where's the body shot? Slow down Lucas Matisse. Take away some of the luster off of those combinations. He's got to try to invest. Right now, to me, he's just using brute force to try to, you know, walk down Lucas. And his corner should be saying right now, hey, work everything.
I mean,
not just look for the head. Work everything.
Yeah, he's getting, I mean, you know, Matisse, everything's coming off of, you know, he's backing up, he's winging stuff. He's got the jab is really nice, but he is giving a lot of ground to Ruslan. It's a war of attrition here, you know, and it's only the third. So I'm really curious to see, like, over the next three rounds, I mean.
I think it's safe to say that if this is the pace that it's going to continue going, Ruslan's okay, because we've seen him in this kind of a pace with Timothy Bradley. With Lucas,
right.
I'm not too sure. You know what I mean? So right now, this would be in the favor of Ruslan if his eye wasn't cut.
Now, I think he's definitely tasted Ruslan's power. There's been a left and a right here and there that have landed. Certainly the body work of Ruslan, which is his bread and butter. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Lucas is feeling it. And he's, you know, when you go all in with a, I'm going to throw combinations and just tattoo you and get you the hell out of there early plan, you're really going all in. You're sprinting early. And that's a dangerous proposition and something that's basically a marathon with people punching you. I picked, ultimately I went with Ruslan with a late TKO because I thought it was going to be this kind of fight. And if it was, Ruslan's going to win it. But,
oh, my gosh.
You know, we'll see.
This is a
mayhem.
Swing for the fences. Swing whether you're going for a strikeout, swing for a foul ball. It doesn't even matter right now.
Yeah.
Both guys let go. And what I'm going to tell right now, I like what I see with Lucas. He's keeping this pace. He's using combinations. He's not relying solely on what everybody knows he brings to the table, which is punching power. He's actually bringing combinations to create pockets to land those big shots. That's something that Andy Lee and Peter Quillin kind of forgot in their matchup. But what I like about Ruslan is that he is walking down his guy. It's not as effective that you would want it to be, but it's effective enough that it's conserving energy so that he could just spew it all out in the last 20, 15 seconds, which really ends up staying in the mind of the judges. But right now, the way Lucas Matisse is doing the painting on the canvas, there's just no way you cannot notice that he's doing most of the work, and I think he's doing most of the damage in my book.
Yeah, it's a Hagler-Hearns-esque pace, you know. I mean, these two are just going at it. But I mean, Lucas starts strong. Let's just see it, though, because he's starting to miss over the top a bit. You know, where he was landing flush, Ruslan's kind of found spots where he can make him miss, kind of dipping down, making himself small, and kind of getting into rhythm. I mean, this is his kind of fight. We'll see. You know, it's just what a pace, man. This is unbelievable.
Well, they both still got their bounce in their legs. You could see how Lucas Matisse has got to be well. He's got to be very well conditioned. Look at his body. He's not standing still. And when he does feel that the gap has been closed, just like right there, he grabs a hold of Ruslan and he makes sure that the ref separates them, just because he knows what can come behind that are some big power shots from Ruslan. So, and right now, I think who's the smarter fighter, if you're just tuning in and you're watching this fight between these two power punchers, the smarter fighter right now would have to go with the lead of Lucas Matisse. But
I don't know if I agree with that. He's missing a lot. You know, I think he's missing a lot now. I mean, look at the jab, the right. They're just missing by like an inch. You see Ruslan kind of in. Oh, he's just digging to the body with the left. You know, just the way he pushes forward. I don't know. I mean, it's a seesaw. Oh, my goodness. Right over the top
right
by Ruslan.
Now,
he corrals him with the left hooks.
Right. Ruslan did stop him in his tracks. He's trying to land that big left hook. And now you kind of see the slowing down of Lucas Matisse's feet. Beautiful uppercut by Lucas Matisse.
Yeah.
But then again, here comes Ruslan with those short hooks. And those are his bread and butter there, Gabriel.
Those chopping hooks, man.
Yeah, those
hooks
are his bread and butter, you know. And there goes Lucas. He's holding on right now. You could see it in his face. He's not used to this kind of a pace.
His eyes are
a little crazy. Ruslan's fight. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, that right hand that sent Matisse to the ropes, sweet Buddha. I mean, I think, you know, the guy that really starts to move underneath, Ruslan is open for the uppercut, and Matisse has a nice one. He's not using it enough. I think he could really change the fight if he starts coming underneath in a three-punch combination, even a two-punch combination.
Let's look at the difference right now in punches. When Ruslan lands, Matisse backs up two spots. When Matisse lands, Ruslan is still coming forward. Right now, the evidence of who's got more power behind their punches, you got to sway over to Ruslan. Let's patch in Lenny. Let's see his scorecard, and let's see what he sees on this fight. Lenny, you out there, brother?
Hey, guys. Sorry, I had you on mute. I think the third round was really close. I disagree. I saw Harold Letterman's card on there, although I'm trying to do my best Harold Letterman impression. I think Lucas barely pulled off the third round. But Provodnikov definitely took the fourth. He keeps landing those body shots, and I think Gabe's right. In those later rounds, especially, Matisse's condition is going to be tested. He's been getting hit to the body the entire fight. If he keeps it up, I mean, his legs are going to go first.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yep. You know, too. I know you can
nice
stand behind
job,
this here, Gabriel. But I don't think a lot of folks understand how much energy you spend throwing a nice stiff jab. And Lucas is throwing a lot of them, and that really takes out a lot of your energy. It can really bring a load to the tank when you're throwing a stiff jab to keep a guy off of you.
Yeah, it's, you know, that and just moving constantly, you know, trying to stay away. I mean, he's got, you know, moving like Lamont Peterson moving, but I mean, it's just unbelievable. You know, you don't see a lot of guys throw four punch combinations. And then the shots that Ruslan are throwing are just bone rattling, man. My goodness.
Yeah, both of these guys are just, I mean, the hype behind this fight, so many of us knew that this was going to be a war, and right now we're seeing that. We're seeing both guys digging deep. It's only five rounds, and these guys haven't slowed the pace since the first bell rang. I mean, they're still going at it. And Lucas is still showing that he's trying to land some big shots to slow down Ruslan's stalking.
Eduardo tweets at us that the fight begins after 6. You got to think about it. I mean, it's
absolutely
what do you like more? You know, I mean, yeah, Ruslan, you can't, that's why you can't score the blood. I mean, he's got scar tissue. He's bleeding, but you know, that fight, or that cut, as bad as it's been, is not a huge factor in this fight. They haven't stopped the action to look at it. Ruslan, since then, has really found his rhythm, has gone in and made this just an all-out phone booth war of attrition. I think the jab, if you kind of give the edge to Matisse in some regards between them when they're boxing, but just the shots that Ruslan lands, they seem to have changed the fight. Would you agree?
I think so, too. I think the change of the fight, too.
Winning.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, I don't know if you agree with me, but the right hand of Lucas Matisse, which he just threw right now, you would more or less see that being thrown because of the eye that's bleeding from Ruslan. But you're not, you know, people got to remember, you got to give credit what Ruslan does. He's taken that right hand away a lot by throwing his left hook, you know, because when he lands that left hook, it makes – It really makes Lucas Matisse back up. Go ahead, Gabriel. I'm sorry cutting you off.
It corrals him to one side, and then he finds out that the right hand, which, you know, we saw him in the dressing room practicing this with Marvin Simodio, who's there in place of Freddie Roach this evening in the corner, where he kind of dips to his one side and throws kind of like a rear hook. And they do it with either side. They teach that at the wild card. Justin Fortune teaches the rear hook. You just get all kinds of power out of it. And Ruslan throws that. It's one of the big changes in him as a fighter. When, you know, he'd faced Mauricio Herrera, and he was a guy that kind of worked out in Southern Cal, worked out at the wild card. But then they made the change to really, you know, kind of be over there, and they became Pacquiao's sparring partner for the Bradley fight. And that's when you really started to see Ruslan level up, just confidence-wise, skill-wise, conditioning-wise. I didn't like the way he finished that round, taking some shots from Matisse, but he really started to believe in himself, and I think some of the tools I saw him develop there, he's using, you know, using tonight. But through, you know, all these rounds, though, I just don't know how much more he can take of this punishment. That was kind of brutal at the end there.
It was a little brutal. I think that Lucas was getting himself back in the fight. But I don't know. This round right here was kind of tough. It really, what did you like the most? The guy that was letting his hands go and was landing some good solid shots here and there, or the guy that you saw land the bigger shot and move the guy back? A tough round to score. I definitely wouldn't want to be Lenny right now scoring this fight. Well, scoring that round, that last round between those two guys. You got to give it to his corner, too, for Ruslan, because the ring doctor hasn't jumped on the apron. Nobody's really called to examine it. They've kind of controlled it, even though in the mid-round it does start to bleed. But it doesn't seem to impair the vision of Ruslan. It hasn't made him kind of wince too much, and it hasn't really made him vulnerable to Lucas Matisse's right hand. And that could be because of the left hook Ruslan has thrown, and he's thrown with fluent, and he's landed with, you know, with a lot of leverage, which has backed up Lucas Matisse.
Yeah, this is, this is just going to be pure war of attrition. You know, will that eye hold up another big close-up of it? It seems to be doing well. The corner doing a very good job of keeping the bleeding under control. But it's going to be up to who, you know, who's got the better conditioning at this point. Can Matisse, you know, those body shots early on seem to be having an effect, but here in the sixth, you know, his legs seem to be back. Seems to be able to keep his distance a little bit more. I don't know. We'll see.
Oh, nice ride by Lucas Matisse. Hey, I want to point this out, where a lot of times when a guy that's coming forward wants to trap the guy he's chasing on the ropes, and if you notice that, Ruslan is kind of backed off of Lucas Matisse. When he does get on those ropes there, he kind of allows himself to walk back to the middle of the ring, and then they start all over again. And I think that he feels that he's getting the better of the harder exchanges, not the fluent exchanges, but the harder exchanges, and that's where he wants to be. Because right there, right when they're close to those ropes, you can see he gets smothered by Lucas Matisse. Lucas Matisse does take that step in, and he does wrap his arms around Ruslan. So I think he's figured out, hey, I got to kind of keep this in the middle of the ring where Lucas wants to stay on that outside, and it gives him the opportunity to land those short hooks that he's been successful with.
Yeah, I think fatigue is setting in a little bit here in the middle. You know, that Matisse's found his second wind, and Provodnikov is definitely in need of one. He's getting tattooed. And
big
Matisse
uppercut.
Has settled into a nice rhythm. Yeah, no, the uppercut is just there all night. He could double up on it if he really wanted to and finish things off, I think.
And looks more relaxed, too.
He just, that's what I mean, he settled into a rhythm. He's very relaxed.
Yep.
And, you know, all the tension out of the first half is gone now, and it's going to, who settles in like this for longer. I just don't see Provodnikov going, I think three more rounds and his face won't be able to take anymore.
Oh, man, I mean, just teeing off of Lucas Matisse is just teeing off of Ruslan's face right now. And you got to wonder right now, I mean, look at Lucas. You could see that the confidence level of him saying, okay, I weathered his mount of aggression. I've weathered through his big punches. I think I can match this guy punch per punch and muscle for muscle. You could see that confidence build up from him. But still, again, mm-hmm. man, you cannot take it away from Ruslan. I mean, the guy's been in the same position, you know. I mean, he's been hurt before, and he's made a comeback. So there's no way you can count him out. The only way it can be count out right now is his face, Gabriel. I agree with you. Can his face hold up for three more rounds like this? I'm not too sure it can. Their cut man he's got to put in some overtime right now. They're on round seven. The fight is definitely living up the hype. I tell you that right now.
There's no question of it. You know, this is this is as good as it gets. Heading in round seven, though, you got to look at the two corners. Like you said, Matisse, confidence rising. He's been through the fire. Ruslan, he needs to figure some things out. Summon, that energy, get that engine going. Land something big and change Matisse's mindset here.
Down. You know, the thing, too, is that most folks that were on Facebook and Twitter calling the fight, making their pick for this week between these two, a lot of them were picking Ruslan because of the size. And you could see the size is evident, but also you could see the big shoulders of Lucas Matisse, and that's why he's got that punching power behind him. And here's the thing, too. Both guys' legs are very stocky. So you know they could carry their weight very well. So it was really a toss-up in this fight for me. I didn't have a definite pick in this fight. One of our longtime listeners, Rob Litter, put down, it really is going to come off of whose chin could take more than the other guy. And right now we're seeing both guys taking a lot of punishment, but Ruslan right now is getting the worst of it.
And it's just the, you know, the difference in this fight is the jab, really. Matisse is just using it to set everything up. He's using it as a blinder. Sometimes he just turns his shoulders and it becomes a bit of a punch, power punch. Ruslan just unleashing a nice combination there. You know, and it does come down to the chin. Both guys have great chins, but that difference, the thing that's separating them is that jab, which is setting up some really nice straight shots. Ruslan doesn't have that. When you settle into this kind of rhythm, he's not pounding away or just touching away with the jab, and that would really do a lot for him. I think he looks very tight through the shoulders. You look at Matisse, he's not a very muscular guy. He's built like a classic boxer, and that's proven to be,
definitely,
I think, the difference here. It's what he can rely on through that storm. I think they both were kind of ebbing in terms of energy. Now you look at him just pick it up, and the way he just shoots off that back foot with the jab, that's beautiful stuff, classic boxing.
Well, you know, I think the only way I could describe it, what I'm looking at, is you have a jackhammer and a rotor hammer. The jackhammer is trying to take big chunks of block, where the rotor hammer is just chipping away, and that's Lucas Matisse. He's just chipping away, you know, with being precise, landing these big punches, where there's some oomph behind him, but he's not, you know, it's enough to keep Ruslan honest. It's enough to cut him up. Well, you can see Ruslan is just trying to land something huge right now, just trying to just put everything behind every single punch. Let's patch
he's
in Lenny really
control.
Quick. Yeah, let's patch in Lenny really quick. Let's find out what he's got on his scorecard here in the fight. This is 8 rounds down in the books. Lenny, what do you got? What are you watching, and who do you have up right now on the scorecard?
That fifth round, that was the close one. I gave it to Provodnikov. I think Matisse came on strong at the end, but you got to score the entire round. And I think Provodnikov was definitely controlling most of that round. The sixth round, though, Lucas turned it up. I think that was probably his best overall round. I think there was actually a little bit of defense in that round, and he landed a ton. He's fighting off of his back foot, though. So I think a lot of his power is kind of is muted. He's not really landing huge punches, and Provodnikov doesn't look super affected, but I mean, he's scoring those punches. He's throwing a lot, but he's landing a lot. And Provodnikov stopped throwing to the body. So I was thinking that would take away some of Matisse's legs, but he's looking good late. I gave him the sixth and the seventh round.
There you go. Lenny scorecard here. Let's go back into the fight. Fight fans, definitely, we're going to be patching in, folks. Apologize if we haven't got you in yet.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Ruslan hasn't been in the range to work the body. You know, he hasn't been able to get underneath and work, you know, kind of press Matisse to the ropes. Matisse's been beautiful in the way he uses angles. Even when they start to tie up, he'll spin Ruslan around. He's just constantly making Ruslan work and expend energy, while at the same time keeping everything, you know, to a minimum. He is kind of shooting over his front foot a bit, Matisse, kind of reaching. I wonder if something's not right with him, and that's why he's more in a pure boxing posture, like his back foot or something.
Yeah, I don't know, but right now what I'm seeing is Ruslan is now trying to come over the top, trying to get behind the ear of Lucas Matisse, probably kind of distort him just a bit with punches like that. He's really trying to make something happen here. There's an urgency. You could see it with him, and he's trying to, you know, get in that pocket and really just get those short punches in.
Yeah, he really needs to make a push here over these next three rounds, really set himself up, you know, for the final round. He needs to be back in the fight. He needs to at least, I think, win two or three of these to really even be in the conversation. I think it's Matisse kind of going away right now. But it's a tight round so far. I mean, Matisse is using that jab a lot, but he's not investing in you know, long combinations like he was early on. He's not risking as much. I wonder if he's just kind of hiding something. Is he trying to gain some energy back, kind of a breather round? But, again, the jab there, always scoring. Letting the judges know who's in control. Even if Ruslan ends up landing more power punches in this round, the jab is what's setting everything apart.
I think it's amazing how both men have stayed in their same game plan. There hasn't been really major adjustments. They've been kind of both mirroring the first, you know, from round one to two. The only thing that would be different is that one guy would come on a little later and stronger, like right there. But really, we're seeing a lot of the same thing over and over.
And, you know,
but here comes Ruslan, man. I'm sorry, was that?
He's been looking for the left hook. You know, he does get through, I mean, a little bit, but I think a lot of this is on the guard. He's coming on, but, you know, I think Matisse is, he's just got him now. He's not bothered by anything that he's doing.
Oh, man. I think it's safe to say both guys have handled each other's power very well. And both guys are—they're giving it their all. I mean,
this fight hasn't
disappointed yet. Now, I'm not sure if you're going to put this in the category of fight of the year. I know everybody likes to jump up and down right away when you see two guys let their hands go. I mean, there's definitely fireworks, but it's not the drama of fireworks that we're kind of using. You know, we haven't seen anybody get dropped yet. It's still early. We got 4 more rounds to go, but I think that's what we're looking for is some back and forth, some seesaw, some dig deep, you know, and come from behind type of ordeal. In my book, that's what belongs in a fight of the year. Right now, we're seeing both guys doing what they were set to do, but one guy more or less has been in control of this fight. There hasn't been any really major turn of the tables.
No, I mean, it's desperate stuff. So like that, you know, the right that moved him, it didn't quite move him. And I think Ruslan, he wants Matisse to open up. And I think Matisse, like I said, on the next round, he's going to be content to win this as a boxing match. That's what he wants. If he can get the stop, awesome. But I think, you know, more than anything, it's for him, jab, 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 move all night, walk him into shots, and just rinse and repeat each round.
That's exactly what he's doing. Yeah, he's doing that. He's jabbing. I mean, he's shown some commitment following through with that right hand, but he immediately pulls himself back out of danger and sets himself up again in a boxing stance and throws the jab. He's not being reckless. He's being conservative, and he has the understanding that his guy across from him carries a big thump, and he can't do anything stupid where he ends up on his back looking at the lights.
And I think he's explored the possibility of can I hurt this guy? He's taken it to Ruslan. He certainly did early in the fight when he's probably at his strongest, you know. He really got on track on Ruslan. And now he's kind of settled into this mode. You know, this is the back end. The last bits of energy are in his legs. They do look a little stiff at times, but Ruslan they're stuck in space. He can't get under the ropes. If he does, he's not able to capitalize. And this is what happened to him against Tim Bradley. This is what happened to him against Chris Algieri. You know, people judge with how they feel about a fighter, but you look at those fights, and this is Ruslan's problem. When he gets into space in the center of the ring, he doesn't have a jab, so he's not setting anything up. It's all power punches. And you can't do that. It's hard to sustain that kind of energy. Along with that kind of Joe Frazier bopping to the side the whole fight. Like, you need that jab so you can kind of relax and slow down into a cruise control a bit.
Well, here's the thing that – right, and here's the thing, too. The question was, can Lucas Matisse sustain this type of pace? And he's shown he can. I think that the fatigue that kicked in earlier in the rounds were really nerves because – you know, a lot of uses of your energy is when you tense up. You tense up your muscles, you fatigue them a lot quicker. But when you relax, you're able to breathe better. You're able to keep your heart rate down, and you're able to just kind of conserve and sprint out what you need when it's needed. And he's kind of found that rhythm, like you said, and we're seeing that right now. Conditioning was not the question. It was him calming himself down when he does get the storm weathering his way. And he's shown that he can definitely do that. And both guys are now comfortable trying to land something big here, Gabriel. I think they're both, you know, I know that Ruslan from the beginning has been trying to make a big statement with his punch. But now we've seen somebody that's willing to play with them in the sandbox. And Matisse is starting to say, hey, let's go for it. Let's wing some big bats at each other, and let's see who lands and gets a home run.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. He's, you know, it's not like Ruslan hasn't found a home for that left hook more than a few times, and it he hasn't got quite all of it yet, I don't think. But you know, they're, yeah, they're not being shy with the power punches, man. This is really something else.
Wow, look at that!
I just wonder if his face is gonna hold up. I mean, it's doing such a good job. I mean, that's, you know, he's landed as good. You know, it just hasn't been full velocity.
He's no,
flush,
and he has to do a little
like
something
everything,
different.
You know,
Ruslan
yeah,
right now has got to do a little bit something different. If he's going to try to land those shorter hooks, he's got to do something different. Now may be the time to push Lucas Matisse back and just smother him and try to land some body shots and work. It may be a little too late, but, you know, hey,
good
what you've been doing
you
is not working.
Go.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely. Because he's really not making Lucas think. I mean, let's be honest. He's not making Lucas think. Lucas is doing things repetitively because it's coming at ease. He's now running off of memory. He's not doing anything in there that's showing that he's got to adjust what Ruslan's doing, because he knows that Ruslan's got a pattern, which is bob and weave, come in without a jab, and try to land something big. So there's nothing there that's making him guess at all.
Harold gave the last two rounds to Provodnikov. I mean, I can see it, you know, because, he, like I said, he's landing the heavy shots while Matisse's moving and jabbing. But the offense, he hasn't really made Ruslan pay and stop doing what he's doing. So, you know, when both guys are still executing their plans, it's, you know, I can see it. It's going
to,
these
goes
next
back
few rounds
to,
are
like
going
to
be
guy,
really something else.
Right. It goes back to, do you like the guy that's moving his hands and throwing combinations, or the guy that's throwing the big shot and pushing the guy back with his punch? Because it's not like Ruslan's not landing shots. Out of every six punches he's thrown,
yeah,
he does land something big, something good enough to push a Lucas back. And that's why Lucas stays on his toes, because let's be honest, if Ruslan didn't land something of significance, didn't land something that showed that he's got power and he still carries it after 10 rounds, I would have gotten the sense that Lucas would have said, okay, let's just stay in his pocket and let's just bang it out now. But he's not. He's staying on his toes still.
Pace.
Right. Yeah, he's keeping that pace. He is doing some tying up here, but he's throwing that jab, and that still tells me, hey, he's very aware.
He's throwing like 3-4 jabs in a row, and then a left hook, and then a right hand. I mean, he's Matisse's offense is pretty ridiculous. I mean, it's but it is like you say, it's a very relaxed style.
Big shot right now from Ruslan. Big short hook, but there you go again. Lucas Matisse is able to get himself out of danger by throwing his jab and by tying up Ruslan right now. I think this is a perfect example that these short shots do the most damage, and they may be getting the leverage of him winning these rounds on the judges' scorecards.
Yeah, because he does, and when he lands, he hurts him. You could see it. I mean, he's shaking Matisse a few times, and he just gets behind that jab, ties him up, moves. He's very smart.
Let's patch in Lenny really quick here. Let's get his scorecard right now on these two guys that are just dishing it out. Lenny, who do you got up, and how do you see the fight?
I got Matisse winning the fight overall. I think he's winning all the close rounds. I think Gabe made a good point earlier. Provo's lack of a jab makes it hard to score those close rounds for him. He's landing, when he does land, he lands hard, but he's not landing enough. Matisse's throwing a lot more. He's missing a lot, but he's throwing a lot more, and he's landing a lot more. I did give Provodnikov the eighth round, the ninth. It was too close to call. I called it a 10-10 round. I feel like judges should be more willing to call rounds a draw. The ninth was a draw. I think Provodnikov started off strong. Matisse got asserted himself in the middle of the round, and it ended up just too close. The 10th went to Matisse again, more active, landing more punches, landing that jab. But when Provodnikov does land it, he lands it hard.
He absolutely does. Absolutely does. I'll put back Lenny. I'm going to put you back on hold, pull you on in the 12th round. You got the fight Smith and what he has on his scorecard here on Leaving in the Ring. Again, these guys come back out with an exhausting pace, both coming forward. You could, to me right now, Lucas is not completely fatigued, but he's definitely laying on Ruslan a little bit more than he has in the last nine other rounds. You know, since the 10th round, he's really laying on him a bit more. And that's giving Ruslan the opportunity to land these bigger, shorter shots, which you could see the damage that it does create. It's not damage outside, but you could see there's damage inside, in my opinion.
Yeah, he just, and he, you know, Matisse, yeah, it's just, he gets, lets a few shots go, gets the ropes, you know, goes in for the hold. It's really incumbent on Ruslan to start working, letting his hands go underneath that when he goes for the hold. You've got to risk a little bit. Boy, this is just really, this what two-way action, man. Ruslan needs to let his hands go just a little bit more here. He's looking for the big shot, and he's got to work.
I always love it, man, when they can't find the scissors, they can't find the tape. But I guess, you know, well, here's the thing right now. If Lucas Matisse was kind of burning out a bit, you know, he's in the championship rounds, he could use all the time that's being given to him right now. It'll be Ruslan and his team right now that should be jumping up and down like, what's going on? You know, because to me, it looked like Ruslan was starting to get a little further in with his punches with Lucas. And you could see the burst of energy that comes back from Lucas from having that bit of a break there.
It's a joke, dude. You know, it's a joke. Is that really, you know, it's just unbelievable.
It's unbelievable that they haven't figured out. The commissions haven't figured out, like, hey, this is what the cut men should have at all times because of certain cases, because we've seen these things happen. Right now, Lucas Matisse looks like he got hit with something big. Not sure whether or not he's hurt, but he definitely, with the punch that Ruslan landed, had the crowd standing up.
Yeah, and you could see his legs bent.
Right, yeah, and you could see that Ruslan smells blood right now. Not blood in a knockout. He's looking for, I mean, look at this. He's going for it.
He needs to work. He needs to just work.
Uh-oh.
That body.
Well, here comes Lucas, man. I mean, this guy is all fighter. This is an all balls out fight, Gabriel. There's no
this
way
is a
you
man's
can't question.
Fight.
This is a man's fight. You know what I mean? This deserves just, three shots. Three
this is
shots.
A man-witch. This is unbelievable. Just back and forth, then they slam into each other, too tired to really work.
You know, and here's the thought for this, man, food for thought here, is that so many people are so excited about presentation, what PBC are giving, you know, the fans. It's so beautiful. Look at the coloring, the screen, how they're doing this. But really, what sells boxing are two fighters like this, two guys that show up to fight, two guys that put it on the line, two guys that show guts and balls for the fans, the paying fans, what matters the most. Right now, this is the perfect presentation that boxing can offer.
Yeah, fights sell the sport. I mean, the crowd is just like absolutely ecstatic. It's a sellout. You have a lot of people flying out across the country, and you know, to see this, Steve Kim's there. He could have just been at the StubHub Center, been lazy about it. He knew this was going to be a special fight, so he's out there. And man, this is I can't wait to do the 12th round.
Cut. Yep, look at that. I mean, that is a massive cut, and there goes the big left hook that had everybody stand up, and you could see Lucas Matisse wobble at the same time, duck a jab thrown by Ruslan. Here we go. The 12th and final round, both guys are hugging each other, the Gotti and Ward steak way, and there's a big reason why. These guys know that they have both kind of married each other in terms of guts and power. But right now, this is the 12th round where everything's got to be laid on the line, man. This is where we find out, can the other guy walk away standing in the final 12th round?
This is just unbelievable back and forth action. Both guys want it. Both guys are fighting like it's on the line. Like, that, you know, if they don't assert themselves here or finishing the guy off, you know, and leave it to the judges and anything can happen. You know, this is a pretty evenly matched fight in terms of, you know, promoter on promoter. Banner Promotions, and I think in association with Thompson, have Provodnikov. Golden Boy represents Matisse. Man, this is just unbelievable. I can't believe how many jabs Matisse has thrown in this fight. Has he gotten into the thousands?
I would assume he has. Almacar had tweeted out to us, it's fights like these that led the end of 15-round fights.
Yeah, there's no way they can go another three, you know? I mean, this is ridiculous.
There's no way. I mean, this is honestly, we're almost a minute before this fight is at the end of it, and this is a fight you can watch all over again. This is a fight that, honestly, regardless who's the winner, I'd like to see a rematch because you know they're going to come and do it again. I can't see these guys changing very much in a rematch, Gabriel, at all.
No. I mean, I think Matisse might move a little bit more. Jesus. They come down here in the stretch, and Provodnikov comes over the top of the right hand.
This is where Ruslan should be, just on him, on top of him.
Right hand to the body.
His hands go.
Oh, my goodness.
I hope Benjamin doesn't put a halt for that tape right now and let these guys just get finished off.
Yeah, they shouldn't ring the bell. They should just let them keep going. It seemed like Matisse looked like he got hurt to the body at some point. Dave, I think, dropped off there. I'm not sure what happened. He was maybe having a little internet slowness trouble. It happens, man. I'm sure he'll come back on in just a moment. So let me plug back in Lenny the Fight Smith. Lenny, are you there? Oh, good. There you are.
Can you hear me?
Oh, Lenny, are you there?
Can you hear me? It's Lenny.
Yes, I can.
Awesome. I think Koval got the 11th round. I think he got the 12th round. I think I was tempted to give Provodnikov a 10-8 round in the 11th. I think he hurt Matisse bad. Late in that round, his legs were not there. And then in the 11th, Matisse just kind of rode out the clock, hoping to just not get his clock cleaned. He landed a couple, but he took it pretty easy that 12th round and tried to hold as much as he could. I have it 6-5 and one round 10-10. I could easily see this fight be a draw.
Wow. Well, you know, I could see that. I could definitely see a draw. I'm going to rescore it at some point. You know, I couldn't really tell you who won. I mean, it felt like Matisse won. I almost could see a 7-5 victory, but it's a very close fight. Just because, you know, it came down to what do you like, the constant jab, beautiful boxing from Matisse, but he took a little steam off the offense, or do you like Ruslan Provodnikov charging forward, landing hard shots here and there that seemed just to move the Argentinian around the ring, to hurt him several times. I thought he was hurt in the 12th. There was a straight right to the body by Provodnikov that seemed to just double over Matisse. He didn't really seem to want any of it through the rest of the fight.
Looks like Matisse got the win. I'm still watching on mute. I mean, I had it 6-5 Matisse. Majority decision sounds like it was pretty close.
It was that kind of fight, and at least that, you know, taking it by the majority decision. I mean, it's a tough loss for Provodnikov, but the guy never loses in fans' hearts. I mean,
for some reason, man. Can you hear me?
Yes. Welcome back, senor.
So the announcement is that Lucas Matisse got the majority decision, and I don't know, did we get a chance to patch him, Lenny, to get his last last four?
Yeah, I had a 6-5 with one draw round for Matisse, so it sounds like I was pretty close.
I thought he did enough, man. I thought Lucas controlled it with his combinations, his movement. But like I said, you could be swayed. I know some fight fans might have liked the more pressure and the more bigger, solid shot that Rustin did land. But it goes back. You got to kind of look at it. And, I don't know. This was, to me, more evident that Lucas outpointed him. Gabriel, what do you think?
Well, I mean, did the numbers even bear it out? You know, Matisse landed 194 out of 409 power shots, 47%. 156 landed for a 561 thrown for Provodnikov. But really, the jabs seem to be the big difference. But Matisse threw over 1,000 punches, threw a ton of jabs and landed a lot of jabs. It just was the metronome of the fight. It let everybody know who was winning throughout the bout. It's why I think people lean towards Danny Garcia. And he seemed to be kind of pressing, at least with the jab or the hook, trying to have something that was happening consistently, even though in the interchanges he wasn't doing as well. Whereas in this fight, I thought that Provodnikov was doing very well on a lot of the interchanges, but from the cut on. Before that, he was getting caught a lot inside. It's a really nip and tuck fight. I thought, you know, Lenny's score was as valid as any, but hell of a fight, man. I'd love to see it again.
It's interesting. When you try to score a fight, you want to, I mean, you got like the four components of scoring that judges look at. They look at clean punching, effective aggressiveness, generalship, and defense. If you added chin to that, just the ability to take the other guy's best punches, I think Provodnikov wins this fight running away. But you can't really score chin. It's hard. It's hard to kind of factor that in there when a guy's landing as much as Matisse landed.
Yeah, I don't score chin. I score, you know, I use the four criteria. You know, that's really it. You know, defense, ring generalship, you know, effective aggression and clean punching. With the emphasis on the last two, that's really what it's all about for me. You know, and if everything's equal, then you got to look at all four of them. But generally, it's about clean punching and aggression. And I think Matisse was aggressive enough. I mean, that constant jab said it all. You know, in the right hands, and it was just really nice. You know, he even weathered the storm. He didn't end the fight like a rag doll. I thought he was kind of beat up and worse for wear. I'd be curious how they would be in a rematch. Who took more damage that will be irrevocable? I kind of wonder. He started to bend more, and it's the guy that never really bends that starts to bend that you have to worry about.
Absolutely. Well, fight fans, that was our tailgate party for the Lucas Matisse and Ruslan Volkov. Fight, it definitely lived up to the hype. It definitely gave us, both guys came out and did it. What more could we have asked for between both of those warriors? We just hope that they can kind of do it again because it reminds us of why we love the sport. And like I said, the presentation is guys fighting. I don't need the rest of the other stuff that comes along, to convince me where the sport of boxing needs to be at. Where the sport of boxing needs to be is two guys in the middle of the ring duking it out, letting their hands go and leaving it in the ring. Anyways, I'm your host, Dave Joyless, my co-host, Mr. Gamble Montoya, and writer for Leaving the Ring and lawyer, Lenny, who did the scorekeeping tonight, man. Hey, thanks again, Lenny, a whole lot, brother. It was a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Let's do it again, guys.
Let's do it again, man. Till next week, folks. Take care. Don't drink and drive because he will spill your beer.
Peace.